Guys, I felt a message of motivation on my heart. And it is like motivation for us to like do what we do. As we were singing that song of Hosanna, I was like just standing there for a while and listening to all of you singing. And it was so beautiful. And I was thinking like, wow, how should the Lord rejoice in this of like hearing his people sing to him and how much joy he's getting out of seeing us obeying him and praising him. And I just felt in my heart like this encouragement of like, although sometimes we feel like we don't get rewards of like walking in his will and doing the things he's doing, like he's getting so much joy out of that. And sometimes we should just like go into his perspective and like seeing how he sees stuff. Because if you go there, it's actually so rewarding to kind of like feel that how glad he is in like what we are doing to motivate us to just keep on and like don't look at the people around you for rewards, but like God is seeing that and like his eyes is so much for that, and yeah, he's just like rejoicing in that. Thank you.
Thanks, Juanita. It was wonderful for me what happened this morning and how the Lord ministered, because I'm going to preach into the way we see church and the way we engage church and the way we can understand and should understand church. And so often when we speak about that, it's a horizontal conversation. It feels like it's a horizontal conversation between us about church and church things. And I just believe God is reminding us this morning that it's a vertical conversation. The way we see church, the way we engage church is about him. And it's because of him and it's for him. And it's he that firstly engaged the church, and he's engaging the church. And that we would have the right perspective on it. We should have the vertical in there, not just the horizontal conversation about it. I thank God for that. The word church can invoke many different emotions in many of us, and I think a lot of those emotions at the same time. So it can be a wonderful place where you've found healing and hope and purpose and community, and it's been that for me 100%. But it could also be a place where you've encountered some of the greatest hurts and disappointments in life, and it's been that for me 100%, and that's church. And will you allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you today? Will you receive this as whatever the Word of God wants to bring to you? Will you receive him today in what he wants to bring to you, and not just see what is going to be shared as another piece of content that is around that you can engage with? But if God would speak to you today, would your heart be open? Would you open your heart? I pray, Father, that you would work mightily through me to speak your word to us, and I pray it would land on fruitful soil in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I would want to capture something today of God's heart for his church. And I'm trusting that engaging with God's heart for his church will awaken your heart to the way that God wants to align each one of us to the church. We'll expand on three main topics, and it's about loving the church as Christ loves her. It's about bearing the burden of her brokenness, and about answering the call to serve her. If I would see all of the weakness and sinfulness that is hidden in Ivaldi, Yaku, that is hidden in Amy, Ethan, hidden in Friedel, in Enrico, if I would see all of the things, that's all of the stuff that's there, all of the brokenness and the sinfulness that's in your wife, And I would make, and I would criticize that in front of you and others publicly. And he would hear me speak about how I really think that she should be better and how I don't enjoy spending time with her and how I'm upset and how... What would your reaction be towards me? Enrique is wanting to tackle me immediately already. Ethan, you look rather controlled. Okay. Not much to talk about. Yaku, are we gonna be friends? We're not gonna be friends. But are you aware that there are some things that Amy and Friedel and Invaldi would like to work on in their lives? They've been married 2 months. Rista and Aubrey. And often we forget that Jesus calls the church his bride. He calls it his bride. That's how he relates to us. Not us individually, but us as a collective. His bride. Nothing can be closer to you, and nothing you can't be more protective over anything than your bride. But the way we often engage with the church, not always, not all of you, but the way the church world sometimes engages with the church, engages in a way that if I was Jesus, hearing how you would speak about, or how they would speak about his bride, I wouldn't want to engage with you that much. I'd keep my distance. It's clear to me that our attitude towards his church directly impacts our intimacy with him, as my attitude towards Ivaldi directly impacts my friendship with Yaku. I wanted to make that link this morning. It's his bride. He's very precious over her. But he knows she's got weakness and brokenness. He knows it. He knows what you see. He knows when you go like, oh my goodness, this offends me so much. Wish we could just do this better. But Lucy. Someone said no. You're allowed to say no. Our attitude towards his church directly impacts our intimacy with him. And I believe he loves you dearly regardless, but he might withhold a lot from you if there is a problem in the way that you relate to his church in front of him, if it's his precious bride. Let us be glad and rejoice and give glory to him, for the wedding of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. The big day when that will happen. And he will finally receive the reward for all of his suffering, and his bride will be united in perfection with him forevermore. And he loves her now, and he's loved her before the world began, and he's loved her ever since, and he died while she didn't love him for her, and redeems her to himself and restores each one of us patiently towards himself. He loves her like that. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him as the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. He also says the church is his body. What is closer to you than your body? What do you care for more than your own body? Well, maybe your bride. Well, but between you being your bride, someone being your bride, and your own body, I don't think there's anything you care for more and should care for more. And that's what he calls the church. And if we would align with that, engage him, when we engage church, understanding how precious this is to him, we would do well. If you're in a marriage and the wife, the bride, would tell the husband, I like your face, but I don't want the body, the marriage will not work. Oh, Peter, it's not going to work. But often, like sometimes, we see Christians loving Jesus, but they don't want anything to do with the body. And it cannot work like that. You will miss your intimacy with Jesus because of your unwillingness to engage fully with the body. Because he's one with her in that way. He's your bride also, scripture, your bride is your body. You guys have done marriage prep. It's not yours anymore, but you belong to her and she belongs to you. So bride and body is the same thing in essence. It's your body. Your bride is your body. And that's how closely Jesus relates to the church. Now, in individualistic Western culture, there's a common misunderstanding that thinking that that you, individual, you are his bride, which is a false theology. You are not his bride. Individualistic Western culture, nowhere in scripture will you find that you are his bride. In the Old Testament, it's Israel. In the New Testament, it's the church. That's all the metaphors is about that. You are not the church, okay? You also are not the church. You are a part of the church, a part of the body, a part of the bride. And that's important to think of it in that way. Therefore, you should love Christ as the unique member that you are, because you can love him in the way that you can love him. You can do your little part as a body part towards him that the others cannot do. And within your local church, you are called to provide assistance and love and care to the other parts of the same body so that they would be loved and so that they can operate well and so that they could give glory to God also. So your role as a part of the body and as part of the bride is to God, to him, and also to each other, so that we can give maximum glory to God. But it's us. It's a us thing. It's a us thing. It's not a me thing. So the invitation here to love her, to imagine the love he would have for her, and to accept the invitation to celebrating the church's successes. And for some of you, just using the word church in that context, the church's successes, you immediately feel slightly distant because it feels like an organization that you're part of. But if you could realign to view it the way that Christ does, and when you say the word church, that you could feel what he feels, I think, and you would then accept an invitation to celebrate her successes, to mourn her losses, towards her softness, towards her weaknesses, towards her decisiveness when she is sinful, towards defending her when she is attacked, a closeness, a warmth, loving her unconditionally, which means it doesn't matter what she gives you, but you loving her as he does, as we call to imitate Christ. To love as he loves, also for his church. I believe he's extending that invitation to us to start off with this morning. Will you love what I love? There we go. we're back. I believe he's extending this invitation to us, asking us, will you love what I love? Will you embrace my heart for my people? If you say yes to this morning, because I want you to say something in your heart, will you embrace that? Will you ask him to do that in you? And for some of you, you have a love for the church, but imagine it could be the love that Jesus has for it. Imagine it could sink to that depths. And maybe there is a distance in your heart between and how you relate to it. And you realize this morning maybe it's a bit individualistic, or maybe just not really seeing it in that way, but like the reality of the matter is pretty clear. And that you want to say, yes, Lord, I want to love the way that you love. Just say something in your heart. Because in 1 Corinthians 12:27, we read that now, it says that now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. So from the moment you're born again, for all eternity, you are a part of his body and of his bride. It's a fundamental part of your identity. You're part of his body and you're part of his bride. It's a fundamental part of who you are, of who the born again believer is, that the one that's not born again is not. You are part of it. So something that you will be part of for the rest of history. And that something is very dear to Jesus, whom you love with your whole life, should, in my view, be as dear to you as what it is to him, and would make eternal sense if it is. And it would be healthy for all of us if we would accept this eternal reality that it is indeed part of my identity. I am a part of the body. If you say I am, that also leads to saying, well, then of course, somehow I need to take ownership of it. Like somehow if it is mine, if it's my farm that I've inherited, then surely I have to work it. Surely I'd want to work it. Especially if I inherited from my father who loves me and who's freely given me all things. I have a call to work it. I embrace that it's mine. I embrace that as part of who I am for all eternity. And then Ephesians 4:16 that says, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Apostle Paul, using the analogy of the body in 1 Corinthians 12 and here in Ephesians 4 also, to explain what it is like. And he breaks it down even to a small ligament. Sometimes we want to think I'm a hand or I'm a foot or I'm a head or I'm a something, but maybe like it's more helpful maybe for us to just understand that we are maybe ligaments. We're little muscles that just like a little part of a muscle or a little something that helps something else to work well. But if any part of your body just stops working, there's a profound impact on the whole body. Profound impact. The smallest thing that just goes. So, not only is this yours, not only is part of your identity and your inheritance, but you are called to it. You are called to fulfill a purpose in it. And without you fulfilling that purpose in it, the body of Christ will suffer loss. And with you fulfilling that, other members would be encouraged, invigorated, and glory will flow to God. So, I always think of it this way. Each believer is called, you are called to the church. So, you've got a purpose to fulfill in the local church. You cannot reach scripture otherwise. Because how can you be a body part with a function, as the Bible says, but then think my calling is outside the church? And each one has a call outside. We are salt and light, and God has called us to be witnesses to him. So each one, if you develop your calling, what is it that God wants me to do with my life? Well, I don't know if it's 50-50, but let's say half of it's going to be to the church. And half of it is going to be outside. And it's not the one or the other. It is always both. And the healthy church always looks to both. The holiness of the bride and the lost that must be found. You're called to both. You're called to both. So a part of your call will always be lived out in the local church. What is that call? How has God gifted you? How do you rock up at small group or a church? Like someone who has inherited this as part of who they are, fundamentally part, with the same attitude you rock up at work, with like, I need to own this, or just something that someone else owns. Because you own this more than what you own your role at work. This is yours. This is yours where you've got a part to play in it. And fulfillment in life and fulfillment in Christ and closeness with Him. So many things are locked up in that because He's busy in that space. His heart's burning. He purposed you for something. And slotting in with that unlocks a lot of what many of us yearns. If you feel inadequate or unworthy, well, so did the apostles, but He sent His Holy Spirit, and so you are not unworthy in Christ and with His Spirit in you and Him saying that His strength is made perfect in weakness. Don't accept that lie and say, well, soon maybe if I get a little bit better, if I drop that bad habit, then maybe. No. Come as you are and serve the church. And lots of the time we say, well, maybe not this season. Maybe it's not the season now for me to serve in churches. It's a season now for me for something else. That never makes sense to me, reading scripture. I don't have time. It's not the season. Or it's you see it as optional or only for some. It's not seasonal. A body part cannot stop working for a season. It's just nice for you to have a break, but the rest of the body suffers. Because like you can't just say, I don't work now. I'm sorry, for a season. No, that's not from God. It's optional? No, it's not optional if you want to be a follower of Christ. It's not optional. That's part of what it is. And it's not only for some and for others to attend. It is for all of us. And to wrestle with God and to find that. To find what that means. And yes, it takes heart and action. You cannot do the action without the heart, but you should take action even if you don't feel it in your heart. But it does take both heart and action. Like aligning your heart and then bringing it to action. Your part is indispensable. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, says the Bible. We need every single part, and you are a part of what the Church of Jesus Christ really, really need. So are you willing to embrace your call to her whom He loves? Are you willing to firstly love her like He does? And are you willing to embrace your call to her? So I realize, like, often people say, well, I just don't have time now. Work is too hectic. I can't be at small group because I have to work late every time. Like, sure, that can happen once, but I don't think you've got the faintest idea of the value of the body of Christ. If your attitude is that, if I work late, then so be it, then of course I can't do small group. It's almost like when it's not the same, but it's when Jesus called His disciples, He called people, and the one said, let me go bury my father. And then in that moment, Jesus realized that this guy don't understand who I am. I'm the author of life. You cannot compare me with the earthly duty like burying your father. But for some, it's like, of course I can. You're just Jesus, and that's my father. Of course I'll go bury my father. And we have a warped perspective of the glory of God, the sovereignty of God, and the love of God, and everything of God. We don't understand. And in that place, Jesus makes that distinction and says, I don't think you understand. And that's the same almost when work is just always more important than something like small group, for instance. That's the same. It's like you don't understand. Like, it would be the right thing to go to your workplace and say, Wednesdays, I end at 5 because I go to small group at 7. Non-negotiable. That would make a lot of sense if you would see the weight of that meeting. If you'd see the weight of, and I'm just zoning in on small group as a very practical example. But church is not the small, small thing that you're also involved with. No, it's not a part of your life like I do this and this and also I like church, what. No, 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 no. It's the bride and the body of Jesus Christ that is given to you as an inheritance and part of your identity that you are called to serve now into all eternity and to yoke with Him. So that looks different then. That looks different. Zephaniah 3 verse 18. We know that the church is not perfect. And she's sometimes there's a lot of divisions and worldliness and scandals and just it's not always the most beautiful thing if you put a bunch of random people that had an encounter with Jesus in the same room. Because they're not homogenous, apart from the fact that they love Jesus. And so they have to figure out each other and different levels of sanctification. It's a beautiful mess, to be very honest. I'm also a beautiful mess, but I praise Jesus. He saved me and He saved you. How do we relate to these things? How do we relate to these failings, these heartbreaking failings? And I'm often standing in front here and I'm hurt and offended about something or someone. Not working or that's not happening or that's I can't believe that. And I remind myself in that moment, and here's a little skill for you. In that moment where you're hurt and offended because of something at church. You can't believe the worship team X. You can't believe the sound guy Y. You can't believe the pastor Z. Not said, Z. Then I stand there and I go, okay, I can choose hurt and offense, or I can see it the way Jesus sees it and accept this brokenness as a burden to pray for. The same thing with a different attitude. I can walk away because of this thing, or I can say, Jesus, I would love to see life from this, and I want to contend with you for this. Zephaniah 3:18. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. I'm drawing from a sermon that has had a massive impact on my life from David Wilkerson and how he explained the scripture. I will gather those who sorrow over the appointed assembly who are among you, to whom its reproach is a burden. I will gather those. I will gather those. That's the sense of God saying, I will bring close to me, and you will be closer to each other, those of you. We'll see who they are. But there are some people that God says, I will bring you close. Almost in the same sense as Jesus said to Jerusalem, that how often have I longed to gather you, your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. It's God saying, I want to gather close to me. The warmth and the love under the wing of God and the fellowship of those with you that's brought close. Because gathering is coming together with others that God is holding close to His heart. There are some whom He's speaking to right here say, I will gather those, I will bring close to myself and to others, those who those who sorrow over the appointed assembly, those who sorrow, that word is the word yaga. It means both to grieve and to toil to exhaustion. That's what it means. To grieve for and to toil to exhaustion. I will hold those very close who is willing to grieve for and toil to exhaustion. For what? Over my appointed assembly. The word ecclesia means church. It's best translated as the word assembly. The gathering of the saints. The church. The local church. The church. I will gather close to me and have a special place. And there'll be special fellowship too. For those who are willing to grieve and to toil to the point of exhaustion for my church. Who are among you? So it seems it's always the case that it's always just some who embrace it. But the message is to everyone who are among you. So who is you? You is everyone that he's speaking to, who are among you. But there are some among you who would embrace this. There are some among you whose hearts would burn and yearn and would say yes to the grieving and to the burden. To whom it's reproach. That word means it's shame, it's disgrace. Is there shame and disgrace in the body of Christ? Aplenty. To whom its reproach is a burden. That burden means that something that you carry as an offering to God. It's like carrying your lamb and your grain and things in the Old Testament as an offering to God. It's your burden that you are willing to bear to glorify God with. It's a burden that you willingly put on. He keeps those close who would weep over his church and toil for her. If you would be willing to accept it. Those who, when they see the shame and the disgrace, they don't point fingers at it. They weep over it. And they bear it on themselves to do something about it. As an offering to God. I remember times in previous congregations, and this one, but specific memory from a previous congregation where we'd be in worship, and I'd just see the people not engaging with worship, standing around on their phones at the back of the church, still talking to each other while worship's happening and some are worshiping. And my heart would break. I would think, Lord, like if we would just understand your holiness and your glory and the grace that we operate in that would cause us to be that causes us not to be struck down in that moment because we've got a complete disregard for your presence. I would stand there overwhelmed by it and realize I can either walk out and say, I am too holy for this church. Let me find one where God is worshipped well. Or I can go into the back room on my knees and I can weep. And say, God, would you please restore worship here? Because this cannot continue. And I believe that's the heart that he's after. That's the heart that says, this is mine. I'm part of this. It's broken. God, we need to fix it. He keeps those close to his heart. And then you'll also find the others who feel the same. And you will find close fellowship with them that weep over it also. And who are willing to toil to the point of exhaustion. It's also an interesting concept that we don't want to toil in church to the point of the exhaustion. Because then we call it works. But that's not works. Dead works is not toiling to exhaustion. It's toiling to earn your salvation. That's dead works. But after that, read what the Apostle Paul did and the other guys. They toiled to exhaustion, not to earn salvation, but because they're so thankful for salvation, because God is to be glorified. And we are to give ourselves as living sacrifices, because that is our reasonable service. Are you willing to accept the reproach and to bear the burden, to grieve? And to toil to the point of weariness. if I would paraphrase that difficult text, I'd say something like, I will gather together and hold close to my heart those who grieve for my church and labor for its sake, those who share my heart for my church and are willing to bear the weight of its shame and brokenness as an offering to me. Psalm 69 verse 9 says, zeal for your house has eaten me up. That's what God is calling us to. You would embrace it. Zeal for your house has eaten me up. A zeal that drives us to our knees, to intercession, and to sacrifice. Are you willing? Are you willing? Let's love the church like Christ loves her, which means we deal with her very sensitively. We accept her weaknesses in a way different than what we would if it could be an institution we could point fingers to, or people that would make mistakes and we could point. It just speaks to a different attitude. The way I would engage your bride if I know that she's got weaknesses. And the way you as a husband would appreciate me if I, what way would you appreciate me to do that? To pray for her, to grieve with you before God, if you would so share that with me, to love her and see what God is seeing prophetically and to celebrate that and to, like, that would be better. And then to find your place, to say, okay, Lord, I'll sign up to serve. I'll find my place. I want to serve because it's part of my identity. And I know that I'm called to it. Your words, it makes it very clear. So how can this little ligament work? And are we willing to bear her brokenness? Because it is our own brokenness, because it is our own body that we are a part of. Are you willing to bear that and to experience the closeness of God? And all of this relates a lot to intimacy with Jesus. It relates a lot to him and his closeness to you. It does. Is that closeness there? And maybe is this maybe an obstacle for that closeness? Let's close our eyes. Father, I want to pray for all of us who have experienced hurt in your church and who needs healing from that hurt so that we can do what we should and what you've called us to do. I also pray, Father, against an obsession with our hurt and offense, and I pray that we'd be able to see that it does. You are the one who died for it. And I pray for the grace to see differently, to see how we can turn those things into burdens that we could bear for your glory and for the sanctification of your church. Change it in our eyes and call our hearts close to what your heart is beating for when it comes to church. God, I pray that we would not wash out our mouths about other churches or our own, but that we deal with it sensitively. As it is your bride, that we'd speak to you about her and to the other people that you are keeping close, to those who also grieve and weep for her, that we would share with them and with you. I pray for that. As we sit this morning, if you realize that you need to respond to this message somehow, just if just let's all close our eyes. I just want to create a moment where we just acknowledge this and we don't let it pass. Because sometimes when we have to deal with very important things, it's easy for us to just kind of let it pass. And our soul that doesn't want to engage with it just says blah, 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 blah until the service is over, and then we forget about it as soon as we can. But let's make a moment right now. If you know in your heart of hearts that there's something you need to respond to that I've shared, do help yourself and raise your hand as a sign of that. With every eye closed, it's not about anything that I see or anyone else. It's just you recognizing a moment. Are you grieving for her? Do you love her? Are you willing to bear? Will you serve her? Father, I thank you for each one of us, Father, who've just, by raising our hands, just made it clear, just responded to you, said, Lord, I recognize there's something. I pray, Father, that your word would have its full effect on each one of our hearts in this space. Show us your heart, if you will. Show us how you have gifted us to partake. Heal us where we are hurt and offended by things. And Father, accept our repentance where we might have become familiar with your church. Think that we've been here for so long, we know all the ins and outs. We become familiar with your bride. Pray that you would accept our repentance, Lord. You would hold us close once again as we embrace her. If the worship team can come to the front, I would love to just create a moment for us, to each one of us, just to engage God. We're going to worship, but I need you to engage God on this. Just talk it out with him. If you sing along with us, that's great. If you're just with God on your own, that's wonderful also. If you did raise your hand and you realize there's something in your heart you want to pray through, want to ask leaders, small group leaders, you guys would please be at the back there where we do the ministry. And as we worship, please go there. Don't just sit with yourself. But if you know that you need to respond to something, go and confess it. Go and talk to someone. Just say, this is the thing, and pray a prayer of agreement with someone. Please do that. Don't just sit. Take that first step and pray with someone a prayer of agreement and say, Lord, this is what I want to say to you. Repent of and align towards whatever that might be. So there will be people at the back. Leaders, you could be there ready to pray. And all of us, just engage God with whatever it is that he has stirred in our hearts this morning. Thank you, worship team. You guys can sit, stand, lie down, whatever is on your heart as we just engage God. Sacrifice, and we'll seek your face.
desire. Jesus, you're all we see. Beholding the King of glory, face down at your feet. Jesus, you gave it all, so you deserve our all. So we'll give our lives as a sacrifice. Come reveal your heart to bride.